We are thankful, Father, for each one who could come today. We look about and we see our numbers are down a bit here. Perhaps some more of our folks down with colds and things. We thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, as we rejoice with the good news for Mike and Carol Wissman. Lord, all the glory goes to you, that you have taken her through this again, and her body is cancer-free. We pray for a good recovery and strength to be restored as you see fit. We pray for Mike's heart in this, Lord, that he would see his need of you. We think of unsaved family members that have been brought to our attention this morning on our prayer list, and we pray you're working in hearts. We pray for safety and travel for loved ones. We pray for comfort for some that have lost loved ones, no one known to us, but certainly you know who this family is from this church down south, tornado victims. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your continued faithfulness to us. We thank you that we can look unto you, and we look forward to what you have for us this morning in your word, and I pray that you would especially strengthen and enable me as I'm fighting the cold today. Get all the glory. I pray that your spirit would fill me, control me. I pray, Lord, that we might benefit from our time spent here. We thank you for this, and we look unto you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. If you would like to know a title for this, you note takers, let's call this one, Go Home and Tell. And if you like to write scripture references, what this is based on, it is Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, 26 through 40. If you turn to those, you quickly discover that these references are an account of a familiar story of one of the miracles that our Lord performed. If you would take a look at the references to miracles, there's something very unusual about this particular miracle. By the way, there are about 28 different miracles of the Lord recorded in Scripture. And if you look at those, you'll discover that when the Lord performed the miracle, seven times of those miracles, he specifically told the people upon whom he had performed the miracle, don't tell anyone. You've probably seen that as you have looked in Scripture, and I know I've often thought that's a bit unusual and often chuckled, especially on some of the records of don't tell anyone, because in the next verse or two, the person upon whom he has performed the miracle is telling everybody they can. We find many of those miracles. After he performed the miracle, He didn't tell the people one way or another. He just performed the miracle and left it at that. How many times, though, here's a question for you. How many times in the miracles that he performed did he tell the one that he had performed the miracle on, go and tell someone? Pardon? No, he did. Two. There were two times of the 28 miracles that he specifically told the one, go and tell. Number one was when in Luke chapter 17, verse 14, there had been 10 lepers that had been healed. He told them to do what? Go what? Go and show yourself to the priest. And in that instance, all 10 ran away, receiving the benefits of it. But the sad thing of it is, regarding human nature, is what? Oh, they did. Only one came back and said, oh, by the way, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. The other 9, they just took whatever they got from the Lord and away they went. And it makes us ask ourselves how many times people benefit from the Lord and we don't thank the Lord and acknowledge, which means that only leaves one other of those two where the Lord actually said, go and tell. And that's the miracle that we want to look at today in these. We're going to spend most of our time here, if not all, in Mark. And he told this one to go home and tell. Go home and tell. Let's look at the background of this. Chapter 5, let's begin. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, or the region of Gadara. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. Nice place to live, isn't it? And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart, broken by him. And the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Nice guy. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Was this that man speaking, yes or no? It was his voice, but where was he getting that? Who knew that he was the Son of the Most High God? Did this man? Isn't it interesting? I think about your family member made it well known that he's an atheist. Demons You'll never meet an atheist demon. I hope never to meet a demon, in all honesty. But you know what? Demons, they know there's a God. And here this man was demon-possessed. And this demon was speaking out through him and honestly, quickly identified him. Son of the Most High God. And then he said, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. What he was making reference to, he did not want the Lord to cast him out and throw him into the bottomless pit. Your relative said, I don't care what happens to me. Demons, they know what's ahead for them, and they are fearful of it. We go on. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he, Jesus, asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, it was bad enough to be demon-possessed by one, but how many had inhabited this poor man? We don't know. Multiple. My name is Legion. We're many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. So the first thing he said, don't send us down to the pit. And then the next thing he said, don't send us out of the country. One of the things that demons, it seems that we learn from here, they delight in is occupying a body. They're spirits, and they look for a body to occupy. And that's one of the dangers that we need to recognize in toying with the occult and things like that, where demonology is involved in it. And he said here, now, verse 11, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits, however many there were, went out and entered the swine. And in parenthesis here, there were about 2,000 of them. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. The pigs had more sense than the man did. They couldn't stand it. And so all they could think of was just, we got to get away from this. And they ran into the sea and drowned themselves. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting, clothed. Mark doesn't tell us, but the Luke references tell us that he wore no clothes living there in the cemetery. But now when the people from town came, here was this man. He wasn't racing about like an idiot, howling his head off in the tombs, but he was in his right mind. He was sitting clothed, and he was listening to what the Lord had to say. And the people in town, they were afraid. And those that saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and also about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to do what? Get out of here. Get out of our region. We don't want you here. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not allow him, permit him, but said unto him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim it where? In where? Decapolis. And he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, the interesting feature of this account is found in verses 18 and 19. When he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you." As we mentioned, of the 28 miracles, only two did he ever tell the people, "Go and tell somebody what I've done for you." And this is the only one of those two that he actually said, "I want you to just go back home. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, go home." As we think about this, I know in the past I've asked myself, how come this one time the Lord would tell a recipient of one of his miracles to go home? For a long time, I looked for some real profound answer to that. I like those, don't you? Finally, I came to the conclusion, maybe I'll never know. How can I be expected to answer and come up with the reasoning and the answering of everything? So, do I know why? I don't know. But let's move on. It's not so much, and I came to the conclusion, it wasn't so much why he did this, but as we follow on and we continue on with where we left off, we do seem to come up with an answer of what he was able to accomplish because this man went home and told. So I don't know that I can tell you why he did it, but I am going to show you what the Lord was able to do through this man's obedience to go and tell others about this great miracle that had occurred. Because we see in verse 20, he departed and did what? He, obedient or not, he was doing what the Lord told him to do. He departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And everybody that heard the story mocked. Everybody that heard the story refuted him, right? They all what? Wow. Wow. Jesus did that for you? Yes. As we continue on, let's notice some things here. Go back to verses 14 through 17. it tells us that those who fed the swine fled, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind. They were afraid, and those who saw it told them how it happened to him. And then, verse 17, what had the people in that region asked Jesus to do? They began to plead with him to depart. The people that were in that region had turned Christ away. They did not want him anywhere around them. Now, as we continue on in the scripture, we're going to discover something. We're going to discover that Christ had plans for that region. He intended to return to that region at another time. And he actually did return to that region at another time. As we continue, we find that, and as we think about that, this tells us that there were more people that the Lord wanted to minister to in that region than just one man who was demon-possessed living among the tombs. The Lord had plans for that region. And as we continue on, the people needed to hear about him from someone who had firsthand experience with the Lord. Let me just repeat what I'm getting at. At face value, what was the attitude and the response of the people there in that region with regards to Jesus? Get him out of here. We don't want you here. But the Lord wanted to minister to those people. And they needed to hear from someone who could tell them some things about Jesus that they didn't know. To the people in our story, Jesus is a threat. We don't want him here. Get him out of here. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and the Lord, he knew there were people in that region that would benefit by his ministry more than just one man. And so, as we think of this, we discover the story and how it progresses with this man who was told, go home and tell what great things have happened to you. We saw in verse 20 that he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And everybody that heard marveled. Let that word Decapolis find a spot. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I want us to see something here. In Matthew chapter 15, I want us to find another miracle. And we're going to begin at verse 29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then the disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitude, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were, how many? 4,000. This is not the same story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region at Magdala. With that in mind, we go back to our text in Mark chapter 5, verse 20. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now turn a couple of pages, and let's go to Mark chapter 7. And let's pick up at verse 31. And it says again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of what? Decapolis. Does that ring a bell? Does that turn on a light? That's where his witness had gone and spread the good word, chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus had gone away for a while. Time has passed. The witness has been doing his work. And now Jesus came back to Decapolis. Back in chapter 5, what did the people in Decapolis say regarding Jesus? Get out of here. But now some time has passed, and this has been an obedient witness. And we see here, they brought to him one who was deaf, had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to put his hand on him. He took him aside from the multitude, put his finger in his ears. He spat, touched the tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened. The impediment of his tongue was loosed. He spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. This was one of those times. But the more he commanded them, the more that they proclaimed it, And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done great. Well, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf and to hear and the mute to speak. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said to them, I have compassion on them. They've been with me 3 days. Well, if I send them away, they're going to faint. The disciples, how can we satisfy them? Jesus asked them, verse 5, how many loaves do you have? Does this sound familiar? Where is this? And how many benefited by this miracle of the feeding? 4,000 men plus the women and children. There were well over 10,000 people here now that wanted the Lord to minister to them. And we look at verse 9. Those that had eaten were about 4,000. He sent them away, immediately got in his boat with the disciples, came to the region of Dalmanutha. All right, look what happened as a result of one man going and telling. Same location, but now their hearts were ready. You know, we challenge ourselves to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into this harvest field. But, you know, sometimes the field the Lord chooses isn't halfway around the world. Where is the field that many times the Lord has the biggest job He wants to accomplish? It's where? Right in our backyard. It's right here where we're at. What a miracle. What a miracle that we've had a chance to look at today. The potential that exists, if we would just remember to go and tell. We don't have to go around the world. We can tell our neighbor. We can tell our friends. We can tell our family member. We are not responsible for family member or friend's heart response. We will not answer for that. The Lord says, you tell. And when we do, regardless of what they respond to it, our record, our heart is clean. I have done what you ask me to do, Lord. And so I trust this one has been a blessing for you as we have looked at this one miracle with profound results. Lord bless you as you go.